Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. You know the drill. You can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject. Telephone number 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. And in the mountains, welcome KEZZ 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs. Call us there at 970-457-1009. We'd like to welcome all of our listeners, KRDO Colorado Springs, KHOW, 630 AM, Denver. We're here for you. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. If you want any of our books, we've written six books. The most recent book was the Colorado Definitive Guideline on Colorado Car Insurance. That book is kind of cool because it has picture examples with arrows pointing to the most important parts of the policy, made it easy to understand, narrative explanations as to tell you what to do. And if you have any questions, you can just call our law firm during the week if you want to talk to us about insurance and ask us questions. It's free. We do it all the time. You can call us at our law firm. Right now, you can call us in the studio, 303-713-8255. Okay, we've had some arrests recently. Okay, we have an arrest in Hinckley High, North Middle School, Horizon Middle School, Campus Middle School, Greenwood Village Middle School, Bear Creek High, Jeffco. What were these arrests for? What were they for? So we have some statutes. We're going to talk about bullying in school today and cyberbullying. Do you know what you need to know there? So, Brad, you know, bullying in school, it's a problem. It becomes a problem. But everybody wants to know exactly how do you blame or can you blame the school or the school district when there's bullying and they know about it, and or maybe they don't know about it. What are the guidelines there?
Well, it's a pretty difficult problem that is faced, because you walk this thin line between what people are allowed to do inside school and outside of school as far as free speech, as far as being able to have freedom after they come out of the school, and what they're entitled to do outside of school and in their own homes. You talk about bullying, and the question is the bullying go strictly to the person conducting the bullying, or when it's being done through some kind of school means, or as a result of attending a school or in some kind of relationship with a school, can the school step in, and is the school expected to step in? Is it an affirmative duty? And that's what you start dealing with, and there's a lot of questions about what you need to do and what you don't need to do, and what you can and can't do as far as holding a school responsible.
I mean, this subject is a subject that just keeps on giving, and basically those arrests that I talked about at the top of the show were for violation of the Colorado statute. Colorado does have a statute. If we have time, we're going to get into it. It's called the Kiana Arellano's Law, and it has criminal misdemeanor penalties. It can be upgraded to a Class 1 misdemeanor under certain circumstances, but that statute provides that there's no civil or criminal liabilities to the school districts except under certain circumstances. And then we'll be glad to discuss this if we have time. Joining us live right now is Rodeo Doc. Good morning, Rodeo Doc.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a beautiful day.
¿Cómo está usted este día?
Este día estoy bien, y usted?
Okay, hablando. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm just about to head into the Taekwondo team trials and take care of the athletes, but I wanted to touch on a couple of things that would not normally be thought of as whiplash related, that people need to think about these and consult with their physicians because they're odd, but that doesn't mean they're not part of the problem. And so we have, I've got about six things listed here. Shoulder disorders,
right.
Brain injury, thyroid and pituitary problems, menstrual disorders, breathing disorders, cardiovascular or vascular disorders, not commonly thought of as part of whiplash, and yet they're clearly associated in many cases.
And there were studies to show that, because they're not commonly, and the insurance companies wouldn't even begin to think about that, because they usually say, you sprained your neck, you sprained strain in the emergency room, that was the diagnosis, have a nice day, so what's your problem?
Exactly so, and it takes, you know, it takes an attentive doctor to look at these, but patients know what they feel. They have to be confident to say, you know, this is happening too, would you check it out?
You know, Rodeo Doc, I got five of those as you were going through them, but I missed one. You said shoulder?
Shoulder. Okay, cardiovascular.
Cardiovascular breathing. I had cardiovascular.
Okay, breathing.
Breathing.
Menstrual.
Menstrual.
Pituitary thyroid.
That's the one. I had thyroid. I didn't have pituitary thyroid.
Yeah, brain injuries, and then you've got shoulder. And, you know, people just traditionally think of whiplash as a neck injury.
Right.
But when you think about what's inside of that neck, there are an awful lot of connections to things like the pituitary gland. There are muscles that relate to the shoulder. There are nerve influences that go to the hormones that control the way the menstrual cycle works, that kind of thing.
Right, you know, and so the insurance companies usually say it's just a sprained strain. We're not going to pay you, and you couldn't have been hurt that much, and you should have been. It's expected that you get over this in about 6 weeks. So, what is your problem? You shouldn't have a problem.
Yes, and sometimes there are lifetime problems, and people need the attention, the compensation that goes with that.
Well, what you need a good doctor who understands the relationship that can take a look at these things and start working on them.
Absolutely. And in conjunction with that, you need a good attorney that understands that the doctor's making a case that you have to be able to go in court and defend it.
Right.
Hey, on a differential diagnosis, is that something that you'd be looking at each one of these things to try and determine to what extent they've been affected?
As a matter of fact, I have... Oh, probably about 3 years ago, started running blood tests on most of my whiplash injury patients just because of the thyroid thing primarily. And so it just, you know, you need to expand what it is that you're doing as a doctor to include those things, some of which unfortunately may not show up until 15, 20 years later.
That's what I was going to ask you if you were doing blood tests to find out the thyroid problem.
Yeah, you have to. If nothing else, do your patient the good service of giving them a baseline, instruct them to keep the information the rest of their days.
That's really great advice. You know, and what we find more times than not is people, they're in a car accident, their neck hurts, they go to the doctor, they say their neck hurts, they palpate it, they test it, they give them pain medication, maybe muscle relaxants, and... They don't think. I see this time and time again. They don't think to tell the doctor when my shoulder hurts too, or I have symptoms of thyroid problems or issues. And so that they don't think to do that. They talk about their neck, and then later the insurance company says, "Well, you never told your doctor in these first six visits. You never told him about your shoulder. You never told him about this or that. You never told him about referred pain. You never told him about a thyroid problem or symptoms related to thereto. Therefore, since you didn't tell him, you didn't have the problem."
Well, that's way too true, and it fails to recognize the well-understood process of delayed onset of symptoms.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is when you're talking 14 years or 10 years, it's too late for us to help them on the legal side.
You bet. You bet.
Hey, Rodeo Doc, have a great day, and thank you for the call.
Take care of those athletes, man. Take care.
All right. We'll welcome all of your calls. We'll welcome you to our show. We'll help you as we do every week, 303-713-8255. You can come here. It's a safe place to discuss your legal issues on any legal subject. And our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. All of our shows are there. Our books are there. We have one button there on what you need to know before you talk to the insurance adjuster. After you've had a crash, do you know what to say and do? Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. 303-713-8255. We're here to rock and roll for you. Get your legal coffee, your legal bagel. We're talking law. And, you know, we started off at the top of the show talking about bullying at school, cyberbullying or actual bullying. What are the laws in Colorado? What are the school district's responsibilities? We do have one statute. Several students were arrested. They do get arrested. For harassing, threatening, bullying people, even through social media. accounts, and once the school finds out about it, what are their duties and obligations? It's a complicated, lengthy subject, and if we can get to all of them today, we will, and we're ready to go on that. But just understand, I mean, there's many statutes that come into effect, like Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title IX of the Education Amendment, Section 504 of the Rehab Act of 1973, and on. So it's not an easy solution, but there is an answer. Right now, we're joining us live, Robert from Arvada. What can we do for you?
Robert, a friend of mine got a letter from the Homeowners Association, and it says they call it a special assessment. They didn't take enough money out for the insurance to cover the hail damage, and they want another $1,158, or they say if they don't hear from you by March 1st, they're going to turn it over to their collection policy.
Okay, so a couple of things. First, Robert, as usual with these people, the covenants that pertain to the association control, to a large extent, not exclusively, but so we would have to drill down to see what the covenants say. Can they make a special assessment? I'd fall off my chair here in the studio if you found out covenants where they can't make a special assessment. But if they can, okay, then under what circumstances is there a definition in the covenants? What are their duties and responsibilities? Are they outlined? And what was their duty and responsibility right at the very beginning to give enough insurance?
Well, you know, let's start back at the beginning. When this assessment was done, did they get notice that they were going to be considering the assessment that was going to come up for consideration?
No.
Well, that could be their first problem.
Okay, and then down in this letter, they put in there, CMS will not take this special assessment payment automatically, and it's big letters. Does that mean they know they can't?
No. This is where this is what I suspect that letter means, and this is where they come at you, and you got to be very careful, and your people have to be very careful. They send out these assessments, and what they're saying is that normally a lot of people now you can have an automatic payment made and withheld to pay your assessment, your regular dues. They won't take this assessment through that automatic payment. Is probably what they're saying.
Oh, okay.
And let me warn you, if you don't make the payment, then all of a sudden they have stuff in their bylaws, a lot of them, where they can start cutting you off from taking your automatic payment on a monthly basis, your automatic monthly dues. When you don't make those payments, then they can go in and they can decide whether or not they want to try and foreclose on your property, or whether or not they want to try and take it, or whether or not they want to sue you, and whether or not they want to start charging you that extra money for attorney's fees and costs. So this is a very important letter. It's one that cannot be ignored. I'm surprised it doesn't have something in there about allowing the special assessment to be made for through monthly payments if the person can't afford the $1,100.
They do. They want $112 a month for 12 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually it's over a one-year time period that they have to do it. And this all starts at the beginning when you get the notice that they're going to be considering a special assessment. And if that wasn't done, I'd want to see the covenants, the decks, the bylaws to see if they've got it in there. But normally, to pass a special assessment, they have to give you notice that it's going to come up, and then they have to at least give you a chance to be heard. Now, it may not have to be a special meeting. You may be able to do it in the regular, normal meeting that goes on every month that your HOA is having these meetings. But all I'm saying is that if they didn't do that, and if they didn't let you know the special assessment could be considered, you've got something there too.
Okay, and they did this a couple of years ago, and I paid them the money because they put the roof on the other building, and it was $1,000 assessment.
I can tell you, the thing that HOAs get away with is that they rarely have anybody overseeing what they're doing. If you go to your next HOA meeting that's published and you know what's going on, and you may be the only person out in the group, in the audience, listening to what they're saying. Rarely does anybody show up, and rarely does anybody take them to task.
Right.
Now, my experience has been when you do show up and you do take them to task, or you do start trying to deal with it, they're very nasty. The people on the board are nasty. They're not friendly. You can't get along with them. They don't tell you everything. You have trouble with them, and they consider you to be an enemy. But yet they're also, the directors are the first ones to complain that nobody shows up to their meetings.
True.
then you show up to the meetings and they're not nice to you. And you're going, and they don't want to hear what you have to say, and they don't listen to your input, and they act like you're just a thorn, and they don't care for you. So it's this love-hate relationship, and sometimes you question whether or not they're doing what they should be doing. Gary was right on when he said, look, you got to look and see what this budget is and see why these things weren't budgeted for. See what happened to the money. Where is the money gone? What are they doing with it? You know, you've got law firms that come in and they'll bid to be the HOA's law firm at a very low amount to attend the meetings, knowing that they're going to pick up a lot of money by suing homeowners later on who don't pay the assessments or who fall behind in their monthly assessments, and they exorbitantly charge a great deal of money then for their services to the homeowner that they pick up, or else they get a lien on your property and they get to take your property.
The one thing that you cannot do is just ignore this. You can't ignore it because it's going to get very bad, because there's provisions under the statute for collection of costs and attorney's fees, period, and the flavor of that whole thing changed a few years back. But there's a Colorado statute here. It's called the Colorado Common Interest Ownership Act. Common Interest Ownership Act. It deals with these subjects a lot, and that's Title 38, and we can be glad to give you the site if you want it off the air. But there is a statute in Colorado. It also says when you buy into a condominium association or townhome, whatever you own, you automatically agree to the covenants that are already recorded, so you better know what they say. But by the way, the Homeowners Association has their own duties and responsibilities. If they give you an assessment and they say, well, there was not enough insurance, they have to give you an accounting. You need to ask for an accounting to begin with. Do not ignore the notice, though. So if you ask for an accounting, let me see what you did with the money. You're going to bristle a lot of people. They're going to get a burr under their saddle, and off your horse goes. But you're going to do it.
Okay.
So I would start this with the management company. You probably have some kind of management company. And I would start this with them sending a letter out saying, thank you for your letter on your special assessment. I was not served with any notice that you're going to be considering a special assessment. Please tell me when you sent the notice, who you sent it to, how it was sent. They're usually going to say it was sent by U.S. mailing, but say how it was sent. I want to know when you gave notice of the hearing that was going to come up to discuss the assessment. And I'd also like to look into the records of the budget to find out why this money wasn't paid as part of our homeowners' dues. And why we're faced with this, especially in light of the fact that earlier we had the same situation, the
okay.
same problem. As far as payment, that would take looking at the covenants and bylaws and decks, but I believe probably you're going to want to be safe. And even if the payment system comes up and you have to start making payments, you want to make that payment. You may want to do it under protest, but they have a lot of automatic problems that will kick in if you don't make your payment. So I'd at least make the first couple months of $100 and some until you can get to the bottom of what they're doing.
It's pretty clear once you're assessed assessment and it's proper, then and you don't pay, they can collect attorney's fees and costs. It can get worse. It's like a mortgage foreclosure on your home. It can just get worse and worse and worse. Attorney's fees, interest, and costs. But, Robert, I'm going to let you steal one of my overarching principles that I use in dealing with insurance companies and HOAs. You can do it. And Brad just covered it really, really great just a couple of minutes ago. Instead of saying and being accusatory, saying you this, you that, you didn't do this, you this, ask them questions.
Okay.
Ask them questions. And do it in writing. And I do that with insurance companies a lot. Mr. and Mrs. Insurance Company, why didn't you pay these insureds? What value did you place on their claim? When did you place the value on their claim? Same thing with the HOA. And I could go on and on. We could be talking about midnight tonight, right? Yeah, ask them questions in writing. They don't want questions.
No.
They want you to accuse them of something that's not correct, and then they're going to own you because you're not going to pay your assessment. What is the accounting? Where is the accounting held, right?
Yep.
What is the basis of the assessment? Why did you not have enough insurance? What happened there? Who was responsible for the insurance? Are you got my flavor, Robert?
Okay. Yep, I do.
How is our money being spent? What are you doing with our dues?
Right.
You know, so let us see the annual budget. But then, besides the annual budget, which is nothing more than a paper with a bunch of numbers on it, say, I want to see the behind the scenes, knowing that you're actually spending it on these things and this is what it's costing. You can ask to see the contracts.
Okay.
You can ask to see all the different information that lets you know what they're doing with your money.
Because out of 80 units, they're collecting over $250,000 a year, the way I figured it, in homeowners' fees. So like to know where that money's going.
Well, and when you got 80 units, I can promise you, Robert, with these 80 units, you take right now an easy 10%, easy 8 of them will either miss the fact they have to make this payment, will not make the payment on time, they will be faced with attorney's fees and some kind of fines and extra assessments where the association makes even more money. And I can promise you that at least 8 of the 80, probably more, are then going to find that the automatic dues they thought were being paid every month for their regular dues aren't getting collected. And then they're going to face penalties and interest and fines from that. And they're going to end up paying a lot of money because this thing went out the way it did.
So if you pay, if you just pay the assessments, even though you don't like to, don't dig your heels in and not pay the assessments, just go with it. It's almost like my granddad used to tell me, you know, sometimes you've got to ride the horse in the direction it wants to go, right?
Okay.
And then you can do your due diligence. Then you can ask the questions. Then you can get after them. But you're not getting letters from attorneys that say you're in delinquent, you're in default, we're going to charge you attorney's fees, and now we're off and running the other direction.
And you avoid all those problems, and then you can always ask for your money back if they didn't do it right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Robert, thanks for calling the Bell and Pollock Show.
If you need our help, call us again.
Yeah.
Robert. We're happy to help you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Don't forget, today at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 11, the one-hour injury show of Bell and Pollock. It's the Champions of the People injury show. Today, we're talking about wrongful death, a macabre subject, wrongful death. If the husband dies and the wife lives and they have two kids, who can recover? You know, in the regular injury case, the injured person can recover, but we have a decedent right now, a whole different flavor. Listen to our show today at 10 o'clock, Bell and Pollock, because we are your champions of the people. All right, here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us and ask us any question on any legal subject. You know we're injury attorneys in our day lives, but our radio lives, we're right here for you. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We'll be glad to help you. Join us live is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How you doing today, guys?
Doing good, Eric. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Listen, I got some new specials to run by everybody for the next week or two, actually 2 weeks. We're going to start with that breakfast special. That is going to be our scratch-made buttermilk pancakes. Now, we're going to make what we call a pancake sandwich out of that. We're going to add fresh blueberries to that. You can get one egg any style. Two slices of bacon, a sausage patty, or half a ham steak on the side of that. That's what we're calling our blueberry pancake sandwich, and that's going to be our breakfast special for the next 2 weeks. And then our lunch special is going to be a chicken Caesar salad. We're going to load that up on a bed of romaine lettuce, some fresh grated Parmesan cheese, that good Caesar dressing, of course, on the side as you want. That's going to be the lunch special for the next 2 weeks. And, guys, don't forget, every Monday and Friday from 11 to 2, we're still doing that all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It is all-you-can-eat. It actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price of that buffet. That can't be beat. We got crafts and mimosas going. We're loving the Colorado weather. We got the umbrellas out. We're loving the deck. Bring your dog. Bring your kids. Come get some mimosas. Watch some sports on TV. Get some scratch-made pancakes. You name it. Tons of things down at Caitlin's to check out today, guys.
The deck is the place today, Eric.
The deck is the place. It is so beautiful even right now.
Right. I'm going to say this is the day to be sitting out there enjoying a nice hot cup of coffee and some good pancakes. And
absolutely.
Having Scratch a great
made
day.
Red or green chili, if yeah. you like, as well. Everything's made in on the premises, in-house. So
maybe one of your cinnamon rolls, Eric. Maybe one of your cinnamon rolls, Eric.
We do. We got cinnamon rolls. We take them. We cut them up. We grill them to a golden brown on the griddle. Add a little extra butter to that. Can't be beat. Absolutely.
Where are you located?
Guys, we're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is the Glendale Shopping Center. Come on down and check us out.
All right. Caitlin's Restaurant. Thanks, Eric.
You bet.
Take
All right.
Care,
the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We're here to help you. We were talking about cyberbullying today and bullying at schools. You know, of all the children in the United States, about 25% of them report being a victim of cyberbullying. So in Colorado, is there a statute? Yes. Can arrests be made? Yes. Does the school district have responsibility? Some. It's a complicated minefield, but you need, if it's happening, it's a very serious matter, as you know, and especially because of social media. And there's First Amendment issues, and there's a whole host and line of United States Supreme Court cases. All 50 states have enacted bullying prevention laws. 14 of the states require schools to have an affirmative policy. And in Colorado, if you're interested, it's Section 2232-109. And what we talk about in Colorado is that the schools are to provide a school-safe a safe school plan. A safe school plan. Your parents ever heard of that? A safe school plan, and they are to do it, and it has to have an annual survey. I mean, excuse me, a survey of the students, not annually. It has to have education courses on character building and a couple of other requirements. So it does exist. Do they have to have an internet safety plan? Do the schools have to have an internet safety plan? No. But the law in Colorado says they are encouraged. What does that mean? They are encouraged to provide a comprehensive, age-appropriate curriculum and not just have it as a standalone class, but to include it as part and parcel of other curriculum courses. And I'm not going to repeat them, but there's a whole host of things I have to do or comply with if you're going to have an internet safety plan. Bottom line is, it's a crime in Colorado to cyberbully somebody. Arrest can be made. It's a misdemeanor charge. And the school districts have no, they're immune from suit unless they engage in this willful and wantonly.
Well, the important part about the statute that you've got to remember is, I believe, you've got to remember the school is supposed to have a designation of a team who will advise the school administration concerning the severity and the frequency of bullying incidents that occur. Now, it says in the school. And that's a big issue. You know, cyberbullying a lot of times takes place outside the school. That's one of the devastating parts of cyberbullying, is it because the bullying can be 24/7. Students as they get older, they have to be on their computers. They have to do things on their computers. They have to do things with their iPads. They even do things with their phones. And that once the information gets out on how they can be bullied in that manner and what can happen to them, there's going to be constant nonstop bullying. And for some reason, and we're all victim of it. How many of you, even knowing, you know, not thinking anything's on your phone, you still check your phone to see what it is. You still look at the internet. You still see what's come across. If a message comes, you just look at it. You can't help but look at it, even if it's a message you know you don't like. How many of you open up, messages, people who hijack your computer depend on it all the time, that they put a few words out there and you're going to open up that particular website, and next thing you know, you've got some messages on it, and you've got something happening to your computer. So this is a very important subject that has to be addressed with our students when we're out there in the schools and talking to them how they can address the cyberbullying and how they can report it, who they can report it to, what can be done about it. Unfortunately, and fortunately, both ways, because we don't make a political statement here, the schools have certain protections against what happens in cyberbullying, but yet the schools are trying to get involved. So it's kind of a movement that can take place where they don't get involved, where they don't have responsibility for the end result, but they do want to get involved in being able to stop what's happening when it's going on.
And they have to meet their statutory requirements. And there is a case in Colorado, it's called In the Interest of R.D. They always do the initials of the students to protect their identity, R.D. But it basically involves the rival schools, game coming up, whatever. They tweet each other, we're going to do this to you Friday night or whatever, back and forth. And so the Colorado Court of Appeals actually decided that case. And basically the thrust of it was, yes, there were vulgar and physically threatening tweets. Kind of interesting, right? Vulgar and physically threatening tweets. But it didn't rise to bullying because it wasn't directed at a particular finite individual, right? It was directed maybe to the whole school, and so they said it didn't qualify. Interesting case law. Join us live on KHOW, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, with Steve from Denver. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know there's we're electronic blizzards right now with the hidden impact of email. Meaningless emails. A lot of people think they're meaningless. I don't email at all because that's for kids. Texting is even worse. But most of us are fairly responsive when we get an accusation or a demand, and we will usually get emotional and rebut or explain something. And even not saying anything, if you get into court, can be silence can be evidence. Silence is consent. But when we email, we should use simple declarative statements. Communicate our point. And emails, even though written, they fall between a telephone call and a letter. And from a legal perspective, emails tend to be accepted as the most accurate statement of a person's present state of mind or factual position. the information falls into the category of things being blurted out. So whether whether our email is right or wrong, these blurts are more honest than well thought out letter. So unlike the unrecorded telephone conversation, you don't have the convenient argument that you don't remember saying that with the email. You don't remember, oh, I don't remember emailing that, or I didn't say that, or I didn't text that. The mayor of Denver got caught up in that just recently.
Right, and you make a really good point, because if you're the judge in a case, I always say this all the time on the radio, make sure, let's pretend you're the judge, and there's two parties, party X over here and party Y over here, and they're saying two diametrically opposing things. He said this. No, I said that. He said that. He said, she said. He said, she said. So what do you do as the judge? And so if you have a written document that expresses the words, it's pretty clear, it's easier for the judge to determine which fits right into your pattern, somewhere between a phone call and a letter, and it's in writing, and you can't, it's hard to deny what you put down in writing.
That's right.
You know, Steve,
each email should cover just one topic, and a lot of people don't sort their emails, but if you would sort your emails by topic, and then also use sortation techniques on your incoming emails, if you get in court, just like the mayor 6 years ago, he got caught up.
Well, you're saying some very important things. And first of all, how often have we said, and it's been there forever, and we say it to our youth quite often, but adults need to understand this too, especially on these dating sites and stuff, that what you put on the computer is there forever. I mean, you know, it's not going away. You know, the mayor found that out from 6 years ago. You know, that's exactly right. It's there. People hold on to it. They have it. It doesn't go away. And the next thing you have to be careful about is what you blurt out. And you're exactly right. When you're on a telephone call and you blurt something out, maybe you regret it, but it doesn't sit there forever. When you're doing an email, it does sit there forever. And when you're dealing with bullying, when you're dealing with coming after somebody, you're doing something inappropriate or illegal, you're placing evidence into writing that can easily be retrieved by IT people who know what they're doing. You need to pay attention to the topic. You need to pay attention to what you're doing. I'll tell you, Steve, there's times when I've done emails and I'll write them and then I'll put them down and say, I'll come back to that in about an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, or maybe I'm going to sleep on it, look at it the next day, and I've erased them. And it's just because I go, you know, this is better not put out into a publication that's there for anyone and everyone. And remember, we all talk about the fact anymore, there's no real expectation of privacy around your emails.
Well, one final note before we part, Colorado does have a junk email law. It's in Title 6 of the statutes. It's a very interesting read. So we do have a statute on emails and transmission of emails and what can be done and what can't be done. Steve, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank
have
you.
A good
all
one.
Right.
Take
the
care.
Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, has all of our books there, all of our shows. This show will be loaded soon. All of our shows on KOA and our variety of injury shows. And don't forget today at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 11, the Bell and Pollock Champions of the People Injury Show. We're talking about wrongful death today. Bell and Pollock will be right back. All right, here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget, the show that follows ours, a consumer real estate show, Barry and Larry. I think today, Saturday, March 3rd, is the day they're going to have their big seminar today. And I'm not sure if it's sold out or not, but you can ask them. They're very competent, great consumer advocates, and know a lot about real estate. The past few weeks, they've been talking about the number 2 and 3 mistakes buyers can make. And if you didn't miss if you missed those shows, you can ask them. But their show follows ours, and it's a great listen. And I think their seminar is today. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We were talking about the Colorado statutes dealing with cyberbullying and bullying. Under Title 22, Article 32, the schools will provide a safe school plan. Has to have a safe learning environment, an environment conducive to the learning process, and an environment free from unnecessary disruption. Also, that's mandatory. What's optional, the schools are encouraged to have an internet safety plan. Brad, what do you think about that?
I think you should be making sure that your school is involved in one and that your school is carrying out an internet safety plan. I think you should be talking to the administrators and asking them if they have one, and if not, why not, and how you can get one established. This is for grades K through 12. It's supposed to talk about how you're to interact with persons in the cyber community. Just talking to a person, we have a guest in our studio today, and he was talking about how he's involved with the person who teaches and how they keep the phones out next to their side. And when you look up words anymore, you don't necessarily run to a dictionary. You look up Google, and you find out what's going on. You're on the internet, folks. You were teaching our children to be on the internet, which is something that should be happening. Once you put them on the internet, they're going to interact with other persons in the cyber community. You've got to be able to talk to them about what's going on with the cyber community. You've got a personal safety when you're interacting with those persons on the internet. What kind of information are you giving them? What personal information are you giving them? What access to your personal information? Are you going to tell them where you live? Are you going to tell them where you're at? And, you know, we've talked to in other shows about how your phone can be used a lot of times to find where you live or where you are at any given time. How do you recognize and avoid online bullying? I have some children who are in grade schools, and it never fails to amaze me how when I go to their book fairs and stuff and you see certain kids acting in what they're doing, it's kind of a playing game and they're playing, but in a way they're bullying. And you want to sit up and say, well, wait a minute, if that's bullying in real life, do you know when they're actually being bullied in the cyber community and when they're being bullied on the internet? And then, once again, the privacy on the internet, what information are you giving? Because we encourage students, and you're talking K through 12, to get on the computer and use it for good purposes. Do we teach them, and is there a safety internet plan at your school that talks about how we're going to stop from giving out personal information, and we're going to stop from being personally attacked?
Right. Cyberbullying and social media, there are some statutes, there's some case law in Colorado, we're covering them right now. What is mandatory is a safe school plan. We just covered that. What is optional, and the schools are encouraged to have it, was the internet safety plan. And Brad was covering some of the elements, the component parts of the internet safety plan. One was privacy on the internet. And so I think if your parents are, you need to ask the school district or school, do you have an internet safety plan? What is it? Let me see it. Is it in writing? How is it implemented? What areas do you cover? Because that's an encouragement for the schools to have that, not an absolute mandate. But the absolute mandate is a safe school plan. And so it's important that the school district or school knows your child is being bullied, knows they're being cyberbullied, exactly how. And it's easier for the police to make arrests these days because the computers can be tracked. And the phone and the messages and emails can be tracked, and the texts and the tweets can be tracked. And so it's not impossible. And I just read at the top of the show several arrests made in middle schools and high schools because it's a fact of life. And so you don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to put up with it. It's a very demeaning event to the victim. And it should be reported to the school if it's school connected, because the school officials have some responsibilities to deal with it.
Sure. And, it's something that is heightened these days. And once again, the guest in our studio, Joe, and I were talking about the fact we went to very competing high schools. We went to Mullen and Regis at different high schools. And I can talk about Chatfield and Columbine.
I don't know how you guys are in the same studio, but go ahead.
We're enjoying the talk about it. But, and then we had, Chatfield and Columbine. And if we went down through all these different high schools now, you have great rivalries that go on. And they're fantastic. And you talk about once upon a time, the rivalries included, yelling and screaming at each other and calling each other names and all this different kind of things. And now it can still be that, but it's happening over the internet. It can be happening over cyberbullying. But we live in a time where we have to be careful about what's being said and what needs to be reported and what needs to be looked at. And so as parents, when we know those rivalries are coming up, and we know these things are happening, or when we know schools are doing things, or kids are getting on the internet and saying things, we need to be aware of how does it fit within even the school's plan of how the school is going to make sure there is a safe school policy, a safe school plan. It's got to be there. And one of it is a policy concerning bullying prevention and education. And that's bullying within the school. It's bullying outside the school. It's bullying on what's going on with the students in the school. And, you know, a lot of it is education, just about talking about it and bringing it out and making sure that we understand that some of the things that are going on is good high school rivalries and good student rivalries and good school competition and within the school, different people competing to get different positions in like who's going to be the president of the class president. And you have rivalries over that. Who's got the best speech and debate team? Who's got the best football teams? Who's the best player on the team? All that happens, but you also have to have a keen awareness nowadays of when that crosses the line and when it gets carried away, because sometimes the whole cooling off period that used to happen was you went home and you were no longer in contact with the person that you were having the rivalry with. Nowadays, you go home and you just pick it back up on the computer, and next thing you know, you got bullying going.
You know, one of the leading seminal cases by the United States Supreme Court, and they've addressed this issue several times, was Tinker versus Des Moines. And, you know, that was a case in the 1969 that dealt with students wearing black armbands to protest the Vietnam War. And so there's First Amendment issues, and the United States Supreme Court in that case came down on the side of the student as a free piece of exercise of rights. But the holding in the case is important if you have those issues in your school. All right, Bell and Polly, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there, 6 books. We have one on hit and run. We have one on workers' compensation cases. Our most recent book on Colorado car insurance. It has picture examples, narrative explanations, easy to follow. If you have any questions on insurance, you can call us at our law firm anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Bell and Pollock, we're here for you. We'll be here next week. And our website is an information-loaded website. All of these shows are loaded on our website, very easily to identify. Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. See you next week.